Welcome.
My name is George Mann, and I'm the writer of New Breed Hobbs, Witchwood, and Star Wars The High Republic.
This is Kevin Shinnick, writer of Star Wars Force Collector.
I'm Kevin Scott, one of the story architects of Star Wars The High Republic.
This is Dominic Pace, who plays Gekko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian.
Hi, I'm Claudia Gray. I write Star Wars books.
And you're listening.
And you are listening.
And you are listening.
To Star Wars Comics and Canon, the Force is strong with this one.
Hello there and welcome to Star Wars Comics in Canon, your guide to the wider Star Wars canon through the comic book lens. And to take you on this journey, I'm your host, Mike Burton. And so brings episode 137. So my friends, we are delving back into the High Republic and we are still in Phase 2. This is basically the second to last piece of Phase 2 content and then we're done, aside from the short stories which will be coming out later in the year in a full collection, which will be called Tales of Enlightenment, and then also the Tales of Light and Life. I've got that on order, so it'll be delivered to me in the next few weeks because I've got someone who's sending it to me from America, so I get the Barnes & Noble Special Edition, which has the story from Melissa Wong in it, and then that's going to, I assume, cross over Phase 1 and Phase 2 as well, so that'll be out at some point in the future. But for specific Phase 2 content, this is the second to last thing, and then I will be doing the Path of Vengeance book review. I imagine I'll get that released next week. But in this episode, I'm tackling the Edge of Balance precedent, which is the third original Star Wars High Republic manga that has been released. There was Volume 1, which I tackled in Episode 98, Volume 2 that I tackled in Episode 99, and then Precedent is not a Volume 3, because I think Volume 3 is going to be out in Phase 3. This is actually a prequel, which obviously is set in Phase 2. So in case you haven't joined before, what I do in this show is I go through the plot details of the piece of content in question. I go through it in chronological order, which is easy for a manga because it's just the one volume. And then along the way, I give you additional context on certain events that occur, but also additional bonus information on certain species that pop up or events that occur that have been linked to other content or even characters that you may recognize. I kind of give you an idea of where you may have seen them before. So it's a way of expanding your canon knowledge and also giving you a good idea of what happens in this piece of media if you haven't read it prior. But if you have read it, then hopefully you'll learn something new either about the content in question or about the additional information I give you along the way. But before I delve into all that, let's give a bit of information about this release itself. So it was written by Daniel Jose Older, but the script and artwork was done by Tomio Ogata, and it was released May 23rd, 2023, and it was published by Viz Media. Now, although this is part of Phase 2, the actual start and end of the story are in Phase 1, or even potentially considered to be Phase 3, because it's actually right at the very end of Phase 1, so I'm sure when Edge of Balance Volume 3 comes out, we'll have a little bit more understanding of where this kind of sits, but the bulk of the story is set in Phase 2. So, High Republic is set around 200 years before the Skywalker Saga, so Phase 1 starts about 232 years before the Battle of Yavin, which is when A New Hope occurs. And Phase 1 takes place over approximately 2 years, so it kind of ends around 230 years before the Battle of Yavin, and then the flashbacks of this one are around 150 years before Phase 1 started, so that's approximately 382 years before the Battle of Yavin. So in short, there's about 150 years between the framing story of this content and the flashbacks themselves. So I'm going to delve into things, but just a quick recap, because this starts off right at the tail end of Volume 2 of Edge of Balance. So in short, it takes place on the planet of Banshee, and there's like a variation of Drengir that are like turning people into like wood, and we find out that they seemingly were planted there by the Nile, and then the Nile were planning an attack on the Jedi Temple. They were trying to take some sort of artifact or object of sorts, but the temple was destroyed by Sav Maligan, who obviously is the star of the High Republic Adventures comics in Phase 2, and then features in the High Republic comics of Phase 1, and obviously makes an appearance in the Edge of Balance. And she's also with Lily Tora Asi, who is a new character who is in the manga, and they basically destroyed the Jedi Temple because the Nile had overrun it and were trying to find this artifact thing, so they took the initiative to destroy the temple with the Nile in it to try and protect this object, this thing that they were searching for. There's a lot more detail to what happened in Edge of Balance, but if you want to find that out, listen to episodes 98 and 99, or as I always say on this show, support the creators and pick up this where you can. So buy the content where you can, because they are really cool, and I've not actually read that much manga. I've read like a few manga in the past, but non-Star Wars manga. But I do have the manga adaptation of the Guardians of the Wills novel, which I'll delve into at some point in the future, probably when the High Republic is a bit less busy. But although this show does tell you the majority of the plot information and things of what occurs, there are little bits and pieces that I do leave out, and also obviously reading it along and getting to see some of the incredible artwork in this would really benefit you as well. So support the creators where you can, pick it up, but without further ado, let's delve in. So I'm going to read out the crawl, but this is the generic crawl for the start of Phase 2. So it's just kind of telling you that it's in Phase 2 without just saying the words Phase 2, even though the start of the story is actually at the end of Phase 1. But it'll all make sense. So here is the crawl. It is a time of great exploration. In an effort to unite the galaxy, the Chancellors of the Republic, working alongside the courageous Jedi Knights, have dispatched dozens of Pathfinder teams into the farthest reaches of the Outer Rim. But it is also a time of great uncertainty. Communication is unreliable, and tall tales of mysterious planets and monstrous creatures abound. Prospectors and pirates roam the frontier, and the worlds of Aram and Erino are locked in a forever war. And on the far-off planet of Dalna, a new threat to the galaxy is beginning to emerge. So the manga starts off at the end of Phase 1, which is after Edge of Balance Volume 1 and 2. There's a group of Nile that are searching through the ruins of the Temple on Banshee, and Markion Roe and Vol Garrett show up. So Markion Roe is obviously the Eye of the Nile. He's like the big bad in Phase 1 of the High Republic, and assumedly Phase 3 of the High Republic, and Phase 2 is kind of like a build-up into his ancestors, who are Evereni. But if you want to find out about that, then just listen to my other book reviews and things, because it gives a lot more information on those. Vol Garrett, however, is a different species altogether. Now, by trade he is a bounty hunter, but his species is actually a Harch. Now, Harch are essentially humanoid arachnids, so big spider people in essence. They can live for centuries, they have 6 arms and 2 legs, several eyes on their face and the head of basically a spider. And Harch are actually genetic cousins to Aqualish, and they are from the planet of Secundus Ando. Now, if you've seen the Clone Wars, then you would have seen the Harch species before. There is a character called Trench, who is in about 5 episodes of the Clone Wars, especially in Season 2, Episode 16, which is Cat and Mouse, as well as the Season 7 Clone Wars Bad Batch arc, and then in Season 6 as well. Now, when you see him in Season 6, he's got some cybernetics and stuff too, which makes it quite cool, and the character itself is also mentioned in the Tarkin book, and a few other little places here and there. But in canon, the Harch species have not really been in a huge amount of places. They get mentioned here and there, and I think they show up in like the background of a couple of comics. I think there's a couple of thugs that are Harch, but Trench would be the one you know the best. So back to the story, you've got Markion Roe, who specifically wants something, and only Vol Garrett has seen it. So Markion Roe warns Vol that he needs to get this because otherwise he has no other usefulness to the Nile, obviously insinuating he will get him killed. So the Nile start searching through these ruins and things, and then they find a little droid guarding a box. This little droid is called ZZ-10, and is like an eye stalk with like a little body and things. Makes me think a little bit actually of some of the robots you see in Portal, as in the game by Valve, which is a few years old now. But as soon as Vol sees this, he recognises it and asks what the Wookiee was doing by burying it. The Nile are getting agitated because obviously they are worried that Markion is going to punish them in some way, and Vol says he's got all the time in the world, so asks ZZ to tell him the tale of how he got there. So then we get the flashback to around 152 years prior. So ZZ-10 recalls the Battle of Dalna. Now the Battle of Dalna is seen in quite a lot of Phase 2 content, primarily seen in the Cataclysm book and also in Path of Vengeance. It's also known as the Night of Sorrow by people on Dalna, and it's basically where the Path of the Open Hand, also at that point kind of known as the Path of the Closed Fist, they're doing a lot of dodgy things on Dalna, and then they get found by a lot of different Jedi who are seemingly investigating different things but kind of go off on their own to find out what's going on. And then in Cataclysm it's shown that several Jedi at the same time just happen to be on Dalna, and so the Path of the Open Hand then get quite bothered by this, and then essentially a big battle breaks out. Some Dalnans get involved, supporting the side of the Jedi. Then you also get like Jedi reinforcements show, I think a couple of Republic troopers maybe as well. You've got lots of pockets of different Jedi. It is written by Lydia Kang, Cataclysm, and it is absolutely fantastic. Some of the best action scenes I've ever read in Star Wars, and Cataclysm as a book in itself is just phenomenal. So I'm not going to delve into all that, but if you want to know all of the details of Cataclysm and you don't want to pick up the book or listen to the audiobook, which I would hugely recommend, you can listen to my episode where I did the review on Cataclysm and then gave a plot overview on it as well, so you can get a good idea of the kind of characters that are there and the kind of things that pop up, including the character Yaddle, who's always a delight to hear from. But specifically in this manga, it just focuses on two individuals, Padawan Arkov and the Master Ravna. So Arkov is a Wookiee, and obviously Wookiees live for, I think, around 300 odd years. They live for a few centuries at least, and at this point Arkov is quite young, and then his master, Ravna, is an old human woman. She's very agile and powerful. She seems to be almost untouchable. It's almost like a young Yoda in his prime, or a young Yaddle in her prime, but as a human. And Arkov and Ravna are fighting the Path of the Open Hand / the Path of the Closed Fist. So Ravna is very easily taking out people, you know, jumping from shoulders to shoulder, kicking them and using the force, and is saying about being very precise, that one precise hit is more valuable than 100 unprecise ones. And that's something that she's trying to teach Arkov, because Arkov is somewhat impatient and he's quite brutish and things. He doesn't really think about things that often, and he's definitely not very precise in his attacks or his general Jedi demeanor. So Vol Garrett attacks, and Ravna easily evades him, you know, jumping off from here, there and everywhere, kicking him into walls and things, and then he ends up fighting with Arkov, who are both quite big and brutish. And while this goes on, we see Aslin Rel is there. Aslin Rel is panicking while around all this battle and things, but senses something. Ravna seems to sense the same thing, and then tells both Arkov and Aslin it's time to go. So Aslin Rel is a character that I delved into, I think, in episode 134, which is Quest of the Jedi. That's another flashback kind of one-shot comic, but he is in the framing story. But Aslin Rel is in Path of Deceit, Path of Vengeance, obviously Quest of the Jedi, as I just mentioned, and I'll delve into him a little bit more at the end of this. But in the book Cataclysm, when there's the Battle of Dalna, also known as the Night of Sorrow, it's just loads of different Jedi end up kind of appearing and fighting with one another, and then stuff happens and they get separated and things. So there's lots of characters that kind of pop up in each other's stories, if only for a moment, and we're going to see that later on in this manga too. So the trio of Jedi start to flee, and then the tunnels get flooded. Aslin gets separated because this water comes down and just brushes them all aside, whereas Ravna and Arkov are in like a different section of these caves. Because on Dalna, the Path of the Open Hand seem to have made their way into the caves. That's where they hide a lot of their stuff. It's quite fortified. Obviously, if someone's attacking you and you're in the caves, you do have an advantage. But in Path of Deceit and also Path of Vengeance, it is shown that when it rains a lot, then the caves do get flooded and can be very dangerous. So Ravna and Arkov, when they're in this section of the cave, they're with ZZ-10 as well. Arkov is struggling to stand up. He's like laying in a puddle of water, and he's struggling to stand up, and ZZ-10 can't really figure out why. So Ravna then says to him and to ZZ-10, look, go and find the exit, because she's trying to confront something she senses around them. Meanwhile, Aslin is alone in this other part of the cave, and he feels quite peculiar. And there's some incredible artwork, and it is quite dark and a lot to deal with, where he feels like his eyes are bleeding, and we seem like holding his face, and there's like blood trickling down from his eyes. And very cleverly drawn by Tomio Ogata, you see that like him doing these things, and then there's like a frame where none of this is happening. So clearly he's like hallucinating. It's almost two identical frames where Aslin's doing the same thing, but one of which what he is seeing, which is all really scary stuff, and then one where nothing around him is really happening. He then sees like monsters and what seems to be like souls climbing out of the water and grabbing him. They're chanting lots of things at him, things like the force will be free and you'll be dust and this kind of stuff. He can't believe it's real, and he doesn't really know what's going on while he's hearing all these words, and then he just collapses. So then back to ZZ. He wakes Arkov up, and they are outside the caves near some trees and things like that, but everything is quiet, so ZZ believes the battle is probably finished. ZZ finds Ravna's lightsaber, and then Arkov recalls that Ravna said slightly early on in the manga that once you lose your saber, you've lost, so you need to protect your saber with everything. And so this is obviously freaking Arkov out a little bit, because he knows that Ravna would never leave her lightsaber, and then they hear a noise. And then we see Vildar Mack and Tay Serek taking Aslin away onto some transport. Aslin is muttering Shri Karai Karai to himself, which anyone who's read some Phase 1 content, I think especially The Trail of Shadows, a miniseries also by Daniel Jose Orta, which I tackled quite a while ago in the show, in episode 96 to be specific. So it's like this nursery rhyme kind of thing, I believe, but I don't know if it's a nursery rhyme in Phase 1 because of all the weird stuff that happens in Phase 2, but he's still muttering to himself and can't really focus on anything. Vildar Mack and Tay Serek, they are from the High Republic comics written by Kevin Scott, which are the Marvel run in Phase 2. I've tackled all of those now, again, in the last few episodes. And so while he's being taken off, ZZ talks to another Jedi there, who is Mattia Cathley, also known as Matty, the Redskins Twi'lek. She notes that it's going to take time for Aslin to heal, so they're going to take him off somewhere. So ZZ goes and tells Arkov about Aslin, and Arkov is burying Ravna's lightsaber, and he says that she will no longer need it. But ZZ is confused and seems to be quite frustrated by the situation, but Arkov doesn't say anything further. Meanwhile, Vol Garrett is thinking about himself getting bested by that old woman, Ravna. He wanted to prove himself that he could beat a Jedi, and then Arkoff got in the way of him. And then the Flood took Vol away, he seemed to smash into a rock and pass out. He then awakens near Ravna and Arkoff when they're in those caves just before they separate, but they don't seem to spot him, and he notes that the Jedi seem to be distracted or confused by something. We then see a little bit more of what happened to Ravna. She senses that thing, and then she separates with Arkoff and ZZ, and her nose starts to bleed as she's staring into whatever this thing may be, and then she seems to just disappear. Vol can't figure out where she went or why this happened, and so he wants to find out what caused this so he could take it and use it as revenge against the Jedi. So then soon he gets back on his feet and then is ready to go back on the hunt. So it's noted that Aslin is taken to a medical center. Vol gets wind of this and then goes to find him. Now, the medical center is actually called the Grand Republic Medical Facility. Now, we actually first saw it in Revenge of the Sith. That's where Darth Vader is taken after he loses the battle on Mustafar to Obi-Wan, and that's where he first puts on the iconic armor that Darth Vader is known for. Then we also see it in some Darth Vader comics, because obviously whenever he gets like repairs done or anything like that, he seems to go there. And then they're also in a couple of Clone Wars episodes as well, obviously not relating to Darth Vader, but somewhat foreshadowing, and we learn a little bit more about it there. So Vol gets to this Grand Republic medical facility, and Aslin is there madly scribbling in a book, as in with ink and paper, which is quite rare in the Star Wars universe, even this many centuries before the Skywalker saga. Data pads are pretty much the only thing used to write anything on. So Vol goes up to Aslin and asks for information, asks what actually happened to Aslin, what happened on Dalna and things, and Aslin doesn't pay him any notice, so Vol starts to threaten him. Again, no response. So he then grabs him and then like pushes him against the wall and things, but Aslin just keeps on writing in his journal. So people hear the ruckus and the noises, obviously, of Aslin being like slammed against a wall and things, so they call out to Aslin, and Vol Garrett hides, and then hears that he's being transferred to the sanatorium at Graver Monastery, or it might be pronounced Graver Monastery. Now, there's been a couple of variations of what this is described, and it seems to only be in works by Daniel Jose Older. So it's on the planet or the system of Graver, so hence why it's Graver, Gravun, and then there's the monastery, but also known as the asylum. So it was actually first mentioned in Last Shot, which is a Lando and Han Solo story. I believe I've released the book review for that on this feed. I think I did that several months ago, so it'd be either in early 2023 or late 2022. It's a cool story, you should check it out. But it was also mentioned quite recently in the High Republic Adventures comics number 8, the finale in fact. So I tackled that in episode 136 of Star Wars Comics and Canon, and a certain character who is a bit mad is taken to the asylum. I won't say specifically who it is, just in case you haven't yet listened to that episode or you want to read those comics, but it's a Kozian character is taken to the Graven Asylum. And then we go back a bit to a few days prior, where we've got Arkoff and ZZ still looking around for Ravna. Arkoff wants to return to Coruscant, ZZ is mad about it, runs off to try and find Ravna. So members of the Path of the Open Hand then see ZZ and then give chase. Arkoff obviously is only nearby, so hears this, grabs ZZ, and then they hide as the Path of the Open Hand members kind of wander off in a different direction. Arkoff then says to ZZ that he can't sense Ravna, he can't sense anyone else there, and in fact he thinks that the rest of the Jedi have actually gone, so they really need to leave to go back to Coruscant so they can report. ZZ is hesitant, but he does agree to return, so they can advise the Jedi Council of what happened. But ZZ is sad, because serving Ravna has been his main purpose, and he has never left her side. So then, on Coruscant, you've got Arkoff who's reporting to Kraten Sun and a Jedi Duros called Rin. So Kraten Sun is one of the main characters in the Battle of Jeddah. He does also appear in the book Convergence, and then is a main character in Cataclysm. Now, Rin is a Duros. I don't think Rin really appears much elsewhere, but a Duros species is kind of what the stereotypical alien would look like, kind of grey or blue skin, very big eyes, no nose, quite a big head. And there's been quite a lot of Duros in Star Wars. There's one in the Cantina scene in A New Hope. There's Shriv, who's in the Battlefront 2 campaign mode. There's lots of them, you'd have recognised them. So after Arkoff gives the report to Kraten and to Rin, Arkoff then leaves, and then Rin and Kraten discuss it, and they believe that Ravna probably died in battle, and they don't really want to cause panic over these rumours of monsters, so they will not action that any further or take note of it. And I must add in here that in Cataclysm, I believe that Kraten's son and Yoda speak about these monsters, the nameless creatures, the Leveler, and they agree to not tell anyone about it either, because they want to find out a bit more information about it, and they, again, don't want to cause panic, hence why Kraten's son probably said the same thing to Rin. Then we see that Arkoff and ZZ go and check the Jedi archives, trying to find some sort of mention of monsters on Dalna or anything like that. Obviously, the Jedi, and especially Arkoff and ZZ, don't know that the species are called the Nameless and don't know that the main one is called the Leveler, so there's not really any way for them to search, but even what they do search is not showing up. And as I mentioned, the Jedi who did know about these creatures didn't really mention them or put them in the archives. Arkoff then talks to ZZ and tries to work out what leads they could follow, and then Arkoff notes that the mumblings of Aslin could actually be a song. So they decide to go and visit him on Grava. So Arkoff and ZZ then get to Aslin on Grava, and they try and talk to him, but he's like hallucinating. He freaks out and is like crawling away and crying as Arkoff approaches, seeing him as this big, giant like swamp sludge monster thing. And then he has clarity for a few moments and says that something on Dalna got to him, and he can't tell what's real anymore, and then he passes out from exhaustion. So ZZ and Arkoff agree that they're going to go visit him later after he's had a few days' rest. So, a few days later, they return, and Graza has been attacked, and there's a wounded person near the door who says a Harch attacked and took Aslin. So Arkoff and ZZ then go off and look around the area, and they manage to find Vol Garrett and Aslin. Aslin is still hallucinating and has not really got a grasp on reality, and Vol is trying to work out what did this to the Jedi. He asks Arkoff and ZZ, and they confirm they have no idea, which disappoints Vol, and he says, well, that makes Aslin even more important. Harch then notes that Arkoff is weak compared to his master Ravna, which angers Arkoff as well as Vol holding Aslin and like kind of beating him up and things. So Arkoff runs at Vol, who just easily throws him aside, and then Vol gets on top of Arkoff and then is about to stab him with, I think, some sharpened wood of some sort. Aslin again has a degree of moment of clarity, sees that someone is about to kill Arkoff, and then yells out and a huge force blast shoots out, hits into Vol incredibly hard, slams him into a nearby bit of rubble, and then he's underneath all this and seems to be defeated. The force blast itself kind of reminds me of a force repulse, which is an ability where someone uses the force and from like every direction from them, it's like a giant force push. I know it personally from the Force Unleashed games, which obviously are legends. So Arkoff and ZZ then thank Aslin for essentially saving them, and then they return him to the monastery. So at the monastery, Aslin is still seeing things, but in a moment of clarity, he gives Arkoff his book of like ramblings and scribbles and things, kind of detailing somewhat what he thinks he saw or what he's hearing or some sort of information about these nameless beings. Aslin is still very clearly unwell, and then we are told that he disappears days later, and it seems that we do not see him again. So ZZ and Arkoff then look into this journal that is noted to be archaic, again because it's written with like ink, and it seems to be written with ciphers. So ciphers basically in code, so it's written in a code and you normally need like a special code word or something to be able to decode it all, which obviously they do not have. In addition to that, some of the pages are missing, and then they think that maybe Vol has survived the interaction with them and Aslin, and then he may have taken them from the scene when obviously he kidnapped Aslin and took the journal. So ZZ then says that they must keep the journal safe while they look out for more information. So they decide on the planet Banshee because a Jedi temple will be built there fairly shortly, and Arkoff is going to be in the nearby area so he can kind of keep an eye on the system. ZZ then suggests one more failsafe. Arkoff is sad about it, but agrees, and so he puts ZZ down in this box thing with the journal to protect it. So that's the end of the flashback, so now we go to the sort of final parts of this manga, which is now in present day, which obviously is at the tail end of phase one of the High Republic, which is 150 years after the flashback story we've just got. So ZZ is talking to Vol, and ZZ notes that he has sent out some communications. Vol kind of laughs at that and says that he's too far away from any Jedi for them to actually help. He will just grab what he wants and then he'll disappear. And then ZZ said, well, there was another thing. And then a bunch of like blaster cannons come out and it's like these big tentacle-y things that start immediately firing on Vol and everyone around him. So all of the Nile seem to be all wiped out, but Vol seems to survive this. He then dismantles the droid, like taking apart the blaster cannons and everything that ZZ is connected to. So ZZ is just left to his orb head and little body thing that was what he used to look like before he was connected up to this failsafe. ZZ then notes that he will now self-destruct to take Vol and the journal with him, but then there is a noise. Vol doesn't seem to hear it, but then Arkoff shows up slowly and then dives at Vol with one specific, precise hit, and it seems to be quite samurai-esque, and he seems to take out Vol in one hit, and Vol finally goes down and seems to be dead. ZZ is really excited that Arkoff is now a master and shows that Ravna is right to put faith in him, and also commends him on his attack on Vol because it was one precise hit, so it means that Arkoff has finally learnt the lessons that Ravna is trying to teach him. So Arkoff obviously saves ZZ and they're like happy and things, and then Sav Maligan shows up and is like, oh, what did I miss? And then they fix up ZZ best they can, and then decide that they're going to introduce him to Lily, and also they can go off and try and decode this journal and things. Obviously, Lily Taurasi is the character who is in Volume 1 and 2 of Edge of Balance. She's kind of the main character. She's actually seen on the cover of Volume 2 of Edge of Balance, and the end of Edge of Balance Volume 2 was linking in with the end of Phase 1 of the High Republic, where after, and this is a mild spoiler, it's a big spoiler for Phase 1 of the High Republic, but I've done a lot of Phase 1 content, and you probably know about this by now, but in Phase 1 of the High Republic, Starlight Beacon is destroyed, and then when that happens, the Jedi Council send out this message to all Jedi across the galaxy saying, all Jedi need to return to Coruscant to basically figure out what their next steps are going to be. Lily disobeys this and decides to stay on Banshee in case of the Nile returning, and she wants to help rebuild from all the damage that has been caused by the battles with the Nile. But that, my friends, is the end of the Edge of Balance precedent. Again, there's a lot of dialogue in there that I miss. There's a few little bits and pieces that I missed as well, but obviously that links in with me telling you to support the creators of this and pick it up where you can. Especially some of the artwork in this is absolutely fantastic. And I must say, I must retract something I said in prior episodes where I remember not actually enjoying Edge of Balance Precedent as much. But in this read, especially where I think I took my time with it and I had to make notes on it and things, I did really, really enjoy it. I still don't think that the manga is among the best of the High Republic content, either the Volume 1 or 2 or this. I have found them enjoyable, and I think that Edge of Balance Volume 2 is really good. There's a big gut punch moment that happens in that, which I won't spoil, but obviously go back and listen to the episode on that. But I find that they are good, but I think because they are manga and they're kind of almost like fringe content, you know, generally speaking, with Star Wars, you know, stuff on screen is watched the most, and then you get books, and then you get comics, and I think the manga is not picked up by a huge amount of people. So obviously the stories are still good, and people put a lot of effort into them, but they don't have the same weight behind them as, say, the adult novels do for the High Republic. It's just generally how things go. So I do find that they're good. I don't think they're necessarily essential High Republic reading, but they are definitely enjoyable, and this has some really, really good moments in, especially a lot of the stuff around Azlin Rel. And also, I think when I read this first, because I thought it was just this own separate thing, I think I read it when I was like partway through the High Republic. So I think I hadn't finished all the books. I don't think I'd read all the comics. In fact, I'm certain I hadn't read all the comics. So I think when there's certain connections, it didn't really impact me in the same way. And although a lot of High Republic content works really well if you haven't picked up any other High Republic content, I feel like this in particular, you need to have read Edge of Balance Volume 1 and 2, and you do need to have read quite a bit of the Phase 2 content for any of this stuff to really make an impact. Because I think I remember when I first read this, I was just a bit lost as to what was going on and what the relevance of any of this was. And I think if you haven't read Cataclysm or Path of Vengeance and you don't know about the Battle of Dalna and the Night of Sorrows, I think that it would, like, the elements of this would kind of get lost on you. Like, I think you get the gist of maybe the Nameless, but even then, like, you don't see the Nameless in this manga. They're not called the Nameless, and we don't really get any indication of them. There's just, like, these Jedi hallucinating because of these monsters. And when I read this, I knew who the Nameless were and things. So, I don't know, it just didn't hit me in the same way. So I think this is one of those almost completists-only things. Not to downplay the creators, obviously Daniel Jose Olda and Tomio Ogata did a really, really great job on this. But I just think when it comes to essential High Republic media, these are definitely not it. But with that in mind, my friends, what else is going on and what have we got coming up? Well, if you are listening to this and it's your first time, please check out some of the other pieces of content I've released. If you're listening on the podcast feed of Star Wars Comics in Canon, anything with THR at the start of the episode means it's High Republic. THR P1, Phase 1, P2, Phase 2. And if you're listening in the far future, there's probably going to be some Phase 3 content as well. Obviously, if you're on YouTube, please like and subscribe and things. And obviously, please subscribe to Star Wars Comics in Canon, the feed as well. But if you're on YouTube, you can check out the High Republic playlists, which has got every piece of High Republic content that I have tackled in there. And I've tried to put them in either chronological or release order. And like all the phases I kind of do together. Obviously, if you're listening on the feed of Comics in Motion, please subscribe to that, because there's not only my Star Wars Comics in Canon episodes, but loads of other amazing pieces of content that some incredible creators also release. So make sure you check those out too. And obviously you can follow me on social media at Genuine Chit Chat on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and on TikTok. I don't post a huge amount on TikTok, but I do try and post on there occasionally. It's just quite a lot of effort, if I'm honest with you. But follow me in all those places, it means a lot. And what have we got coming up? Well, as I said, I'm pretty sure I will do the Path of Vengeance book review next week, and then that will wrap up Phase 2 of the High Republic until I release the episodes on Tales of Light and Life and also the Tales of Enlightenment short stories by George Mann. But as I said, that won't be for a little while yet. And then following those, I'm free for a little bit, because I think the first pieces of High Republic content for Phase 3 come out, I think it's like late October, maybe early mid-November. I think George Mann's book comes out in November. But obviously a lot of the comics that are going to be coming out, I won't tackle until the first arc of each comic has released. So really it's going to be like 5 months from the release of the first comic before I delve into that. But I do know there's a Shadows of Starlight miniseries. I think it's 4 or 5 issues long. It's written by Charles Soule. And it's kind of connecting Phase 1 and Phase 3 and showing what the Jedi did in the immediate aftermath of what happened in Phase 1. So I imagine that'll be one of the first things I tackle, along with the Phase 3 book by George Mann that's name escapes me right now. I think it's Eye of Darkness off the top of my head. But that'll be what I'm tackling in a few months' time, but you don't have to worry about that quite yet. But in the immediate future, once I've done Path of Vengeance, there's just the other comic stuff, so it won't be any more High Republic stuff for a little while. So obviously I need to do, there's the mini-series of Sana Staros, there's finishing off the Yoda series, which I've just finished reading issue 10 of that, and that was really, really cool. So I've got those two, which are non-crossovery stuff. And then I've got all of the stuff before Dark Droids. So Dark Droids issue 2 has come out now, so that's the next big crossover event. But before that, I need to wrap up the Darth Vader story arcs that I haven't delved into that were after Hidden Empire. Same with Dr. Aphra, the Star Wars main run, and also the Bounty Hunters run. And with the Star Wars main run of comics, there are some issues in there that are absolutely incredible about Luke Skywalker, how he got his lightsaber crystal and things. And there's a lot of really, really interesting stuff there. So I'm very excited to delve into those. So I imagine I'll start there with the Star Wars one, but I think it's 2 story arcs going on before Dark Droids kind of kicks off. So we'll figure it out. I'll kind of flip between things like I usually do, you know, probably do Star Wars, then Vader, then Aphra, then Bounty Hunters, and then back to Star Wars. I don't know. We shall see. I'll kind of see how I feel as the week goes by. Then obviously there's the Hyperspace Stories, which is the anthology stuff, and that's by Dark Horse. So I think I'll probably do 5 of those at a time. So I'll try and kind of intertwine those in amidst that as well. Plus there's the IDW Publishing Clone Wars Battle Tales thing. I'm going to do that before Christmas, even if it's the last episode I release this year, just because I've been going on about it for so long and I still haven't read it. So I will be doing those. We've got Life Day coming up. Obviously, that's around Thanksgiving. So when that happens, I've got the Life Day Treasury, which is quite cool. And that's a collection of stories by George Mann and Kevin Scott. So I will be releasing that, I imagine, around Life Day as well. But if you haven't already checked out my Life Day episode from last year, check that out, because there's like a one-shot comic, which again is some anthology stuff. And that's a lot of fun too. I've also recently recorded my review of Inquisitor Rise of the Red Blade, which is a book written by Delilah S. Dawson, and it follows a Jedi called Iskat, and she goes through the Clone Wars and Order 66 and eventually becomes the Inquisitor, and we do actually see her in some comics and things, but I won't delve into that quite yet. I can't decide if I'm going to release it on Patreon first or if I'm just going to release it on this main feed, but we'll kind of see. We'll see what happens there. But that's going to be it for the time being. The other stuff that I've been doing has been the Ahsoka weekly discussion shows. So every week I have a different guest on and we discuss the Ahsoka episodes as they come out. Obviously, there are loads of spoilers in those episodes because we delve right deep into them. And I try and release those episodes within 2 days or so of the Ahsoka episode airing. So keep an eye out for that. They air on the feed of the podcast Comics in Motion, or they air with a video version on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/genuinechitschat. If you're listening to that, please go subscribe to Genuine Chit Chat. Trying to get my subscriber numbers up and things, and that would make a real difference to me. And then the last kind of things is how you can support me, where you can follow me on social media, as I've already said. Obviously, you're listening, which is the best way to support. You can share with your friends, you can share on social media, all that great stuff. You can also leave reviews and ratings, so you can rate on Spotify. It takes like 3 seconds to do, so please try and do that, or wherever you are listening. But in addition to that, you can leave reviews on Apple Podcasts, on Audible, on Good Pods, things like that. And if you do leave me a review, screenshot it, send it to me on social media, or email it to me, and then I will send you a free episode of Afterthoughts, which is the bonus content I release. So if you want to support the show even beyond that, or if you get an Afterthoughts episode and then you want to support me even more to get more Afterthoughts, you can subscribe to my Patreon. That's patreon.com/genuinechitschat. For as little as £1 a month, obviously you can pay a bit more if you want, but you can just give £1 a month and then you get immediate access to over 180 episodes of Afterthoughts. And over there I do Star Wars Legends book reviews occasionally, but primarily it's myself and my fiance Megan reviewing stuff. Sometimes it's live performances like Bake Off musical or The Book of Mormon, but most of the time it's TV shows and movies, primarily movies that we watch. It's a wide variety. Sometimes it's rom-coms and Disney stuff, other times it's like classic movies, and sometimes it's like brand new movies that have come out, like Barbie and Oppenheimer. We did that fairly shortly afterwards. So if you want to support this show, keep the gears running, and I'm saving up to buy a new webcam / video camera for my podcast, especially my interviews. And I've got a very exciting interview lined up soon as well, which I'll be able to talk a little bit more of that once I've recorded. If you're a fan of Star Wars, you should be a fan of that episode. But yeah, please consider subscribing to my Patreon. And if you want to support the show, but you don't want to sign up to something monthly, you can give a one-off donation to Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/genuinechitchat. And if you do that, I'll send you a couple episodes of Afterthoughts of your choice as well. So you can support me in a variety of ways, but obviously you're listening to this right to the very end, and that means the absolute world to me. So just thank you so much for listening. As always, my friends, I'll speak to you next week lightly with the Path of Vengeance book review. And of course, may the Force be with you. The intro for Star Wars Comics and Canon is arranged by myself, Mike Burton, and the backing music was made by Eric Matias of soundimage.org.
You have just experienced host, creator, everything elser of Genuine Chit Chat, and also the host and creator of Star Wars Comics and Canon, found on the Comics in Motion podcast, Mike Burton.